and Kirsten had brought something up, and I really wanted to push on it. You were talking about...
Push it. Oh, my God. You... Push it good. Ah, push it. But push it real good. Your turn.
Okay, so she was talking about work. You may want to work for somebody.
Do you want to go bigger, badder, better, more? Are you ready to level up your life? Are you ready to be awesome? Now is the time. And this is Success Freaks.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, to the number one Batter Up comedic motivational show, otherwise known as Success Freaks. Today's working title is Episode 267, You Gotta Pay to Play. And today we're coming at you live from Wayzata, Minnesota, and Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
Phoenix. It is... It's Kirsten.
Yeah. And in Minnesota, it's Mordant.
That's
every
right.
Time you always like introduce me as being in Phoenix, and then we never talk about you being in Wayzata.
Oh, well, that's great. It's actually a great little town. I like it a lot.
Well, that's lovely.
I do, but let's talk about the title.
Yeah.
Recently, with our Habitica update, Let's turn to Kirsten, who made it to second level.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah.
And I was talking to Kirsten, and she's like, you know, I'm going to make it to third level, yeah, but Kirsten, your health is really, really low. Well, how can I get that better? Well, you can level up, which means do your stuff, or you can spend gold for something that will...
I'm not spending my money.
I'm not spending me gold, I think was actually what you said.
I said, I'm not spending my monies in all caps.
All right. And so she died.
Shh.
And I checked on it because I wasn't sure on this part, but yep, did you keep that money? Did you take it with you? You must have, because it's not here no more. You got no money. You spent your money. So, hence the title of the show.
Oh, yeah. I have no money.
All that stuff that you were holding on to, gone, see ya, bye. In fact, right after I was done talking to you, I went to my character, who is 46 level and has some gold because I've been buying stuff. And, you know, I'm a purchaser. And I was like, no. I will spend my 25 gold for this. And it gave me like 15 points and I was fine.
Well, so when you were explaining to me like how I could keep my health because I had to level up, I was doing all of those things. I was doing tasks that I had on my to-do list forever that were like red. And then I went to go check them off and I had already died.
You had to do your dailies. Your dailies
I've been doing my dailies and I've been doing some of my habits. But then I had a bunch of to-dos that you said I could try and check off.
Right.
And then I did them.
That would help you level up, but if you're already dead.
No, but I needed to level up so I wouldn't die.
Right.
Right. So I did all those things that were on my to-do list, and I went to go check them off, and I had died in the two-hour time span it took me to do all the stuff.
It must have been close to midnight.
Yeah.
It was at night, because once you, what they call it, chronological, once you hit your midnight, if that's when the damage hits you.
Yeah.
On this silly little app game that makes us do things that, you know, we really want to do.
Well, now I'm a level one again, and I'm feeling really great about it.
All right. Well, now you know. I'm so excited for you. But the reason, we're not going to just talk about Habitica this whole time, although I'm just loving this conversation. We are going to talk about, everybody knows I'm a big believer in the law of attraction. And, you know, really working. Oh, you got to work and you got to work towards getting stuff that you want. It should be hard. It should be difficult. And actually, it shouldn't. You know, it's just the belief that calls everything to you. However, my little law of attractionites out there. Redactionites, whatever it is.
Now we work for the government.
We do. I guess I do. I work for the Department of Homeland Defense because I'm Coast Guard Auxiliary.
Okay, humble, not so humble bragging.
There's so few things I can brag about that I just had to slide that one in.
That's morbid.
No, that's Mordant.
Please don't add that to your list of things you can brag about.
Anyways. Those of you who are just waiting for things to drop in your lap, you've got to pay to play. You really want to, you know, let's say you're going for, I want to be a great actor. Okay, you might have some natural ability, some natural talent. You might be, because you've never really had any training, you might be able to walk into a film class or a film thing and be, you know, you're very natural and you're not overacting at all. However, if you really want to, you know, get those roles, and once you get those roles, do anything with it, you've got to learn your script. You've got to learn, you know, about, you know, the art of acting. Work on your craft so that you're better at being natural in front of a camera, which makes us all a little twitchy. That's just one thing. If you want to join the Olympics and you've got some natural ability in, I don't know, the hot sport of curling, which is the one thing that I don't know that you really need to practice for, but well, let's pretend you do. If you have that, you're going to have to practice to A, get on the team, B, stay on the team, and then all the way to winning. So you've got to pay. There's a price that you pay. We get challenges so that we can level up our life. We get challenges so that we can figure out, A, what we want. A lot of people think, oh, look, I got to figure out what I don't want. Well, that's easy. Don't want is easy, but it works counterintuitive. You got to figure out what you do want. And those challenges help you figure that out. So working through those challenges is a way of paying to play. Whether you want to, no, I want to hold on to my gold and then die because you're holding all your... I like the biblical story or the parable about the person who held on to their talents. They were given so many talents. Now, back then, a talent was a modicum of money. But I like the irony that it's also hiding your talents and not, you know, well, I'm just going to hold onto my talents and not really share it with anybody or do anything with it because I don't want to lose it. Well, then you're going to get that taken away.
Fair.
So you got to share your talent with the world. That's why you have it. It's not just for you to hoard. Do you have any thoughts on all this, Kirsten?
Yeah.
How's it feel to die? How many times have you died, by the way?
I don't even know. I don't have enough dailies. I think the dailies I do have, I've actually been really good about no soda, no fast food.
That's not a daily. That's a habit you're working on.
No, I had to change it. I had to change it to a daily thing because I had to account for myself daily. Daily, I had to say no soda constantly all day long. And if I had done that, I was like, yes, I did this once a day. Same thing with like making my bed. That's a daily. I get that.
Yep, that's a daily.
The no soda, no fast food, I had to move it because if it was just in my habits, I didn't like the streak. I liked being to give myself a positive or a negative.
That you can do that in your habits.
Then maybe it's in my habits.
Okay.
I have a plus and a minus.
I want you to give me a screen. I want you to get sorry, people, that you're listening to this conversation, but I guess we're going to, this is the ride that we're on. And we'll get back to the actual show in a minute. But I wanted to see a screenshot or something. Take a picture of your layout and then send it to me so I can help you figure that out.
Okay. So, any hoozle bees.
Apparently, Kirsten's gassy at the moment.
I am. I am flatulent with disregard for your want of a screenshot. I think you have to pay to play is one way of looking at it. I think another way to look at it is if you think of like, let's say getting in shape, if you want to, you know, work on your fitness and you want to be stronger, like I want to be stronger. I don't necessarily want to lose weight. I want to be stronger and I want to feel healthy, but my apartment complex gym is terrible. So when I want to level up my life, I have to go pay for a gym membership. I've never paid for a gym membership in my life. And now I pay for a gym membership. And I know that I need to do that because I want to feel stronger.
Work out? What's your gym?
Oh, it's really expensive.
What's the name?
It's really elite. It's very expensive. Planet Fitness, $10 a month.
Yeah, I do that in North Carolina.
But the reason I did it that way is because, like I said, I've never paid for a gym membership, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to level up my like fitness, my health level in like real life, not just Habitica. And I never, like I said, I've never used a gym before, and I didn't know if it's something I would actually use, if I would go drive to the gym, because I've always just used my apartment complex gym where I could walk to in 3 minutes. So I've had this membership since April, and I'm still trying to figure out a flow of things, if I should go before or after work. We've talked about that before on the show. And I still don't have a flow of things, and I don't want to go spend $30 to $50 on a membership that I still can't figure out how I'm going to use.
There's nothing wrong with Planet Fitness. It's a great gym.
There's a ton of stuff. There's a ton of machines. There's a ton of free weights.
You found a great gym. Is it close to you?
No gyms are. That's the thing. It's close-ish.
Where are you? How far is it?
Maybe like 4 miles.
That's close.
But for someone who's used to walking 3 minutes, to get in a car and drive like 4.5 miles to the gym and then go and then get in your car all sweaty. I've never done that before. So I'm adjusting to having to pay for a gym and go to it and like commute.
You got to pay to play, baby.
I know. But it's relevant. That's what I'm saying. That was my story, my anecdote to prove that it was relevant to me.
Well, and on that note, we are going to get into the next segment in just a moment. But first, as always, we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hunger isn't a faraway problem. 1 in 7 Americans live with hunger. At Islamic Relief USA, we think it's up to the other 6 to share our food with our neighbors. This summer, Islamic Relief USA is packing up food and bringing it to communities in need. As always, it's for anyone of any faith or any background. It's just one of dozens of ways Islamic Relief USA is looking out for our neighbors. To learn more, visit irusa.org. Islamic Relief USA, working together for a better world.
Welcome back to Success Freaks, episode 267. You got to pay to play. Before the break, we were talking about my gym experience and how I'm not used to paying for a gym membership, but it's a good thing. Another thing that dawned on me is education. If you are looking to level up your life through an education, a higher education, a degree, most likely you have to pay for that. And it sucks when paying to play for, like, paying to play is the detriment. As someone who is paying off her student loans currently, and it's a big ball of suck, I understand that completely. But I'm so happy that I went and got an education and got a degree. But you have to pay to play. Like, these are the literal you got to pay to play. But I think,
well, and don't forget that the education itself is actually paying to play. Whatever it is that you're trying to get into, that is a form of doing that. Nobody's going to hand you those kinds of jobs unless you're able to, you know, unless you're one of these people who are like, oh, no, I'm totally a doctor, and they're not a doctor. And then the law comes down and that then you're paying in a different way for the play you've done.
But it's easy, like when you say you got to pay to play, it's easy to say it literally. Like, I have to pay for a gym membership if I want to feel healthier and work on my fitness. I have to pay for an education if I want to better myself mentally and prepare myself for a career that I really want. But Morden, you had mentioned like a metaphorical way of paying to play.
I did. What did I say?
Fantastic. How sometimes things fall into your lap and you're not ready for them.
It's just like with the law of attraction or whatever else, you may be in the right place at the right time and things will fall into your lap. But you, like Kirsten just said so eloquently, you have to be ready for that. You have to be prepared for that. There's been a couple of times where I was, it might have been one of my first times that when I was going to Toastmasters and getting a speech, and one of my first speeches ready, and somebody else was supposed to speak that day, and something in the back of my head said, you be ready today. You're not supposed to speak today, but you be ready today. And I went, and the person who was supposed to speak, they didn't show up. So they asked, is there anybody here who would like to do it instead, is ready to speak? And I was like, I'm going to do that. And it was great. You know, it was the opportunity because I was ready. It's like in a play when you're the, what is it, when you're the stand-in?
Understudy.
You get yourself ready for that day, that moment, that time, where the other person's not going to be able to do that, and you can step up.
But that's scheduled. Like, that's something you know that's the opportunity. Like, that's a potential for. I think pay-to-play also, in a way, is, you know, like, I love reading. I love reading self-helpy books.
What are you reading right now?
There's a whole series of a guy called, I think it's either Andrew Matthews or Matthew Andrews. He has two first names. I hate it. But I think it's Andrew Matthews, pretty sure. And the one that I got first, it's called Be Happy with an exclamation point. And it's got like this doofy little doodling character on the front. And the whole thing is just, it's like a thin little book. Somebody recommended it to me because they always give it to friends and family when they graduate. Like, not necessarily just high school, but, you know, graduate high school or college. And it's just fantastic. It's so, I can't explain it, but I've read a lot of really self-helpy books. And a lot of times they're written by people who are very hoity-toity and like, look at me and how much I've learned about self-help and look at me help you. P.S. When I used to work at Barnes & Noble and people would ask me for the self-help section, I would say, if I showed you, wouldn't that defeat the purpose? And half of them thought it was funny and half of them thought I was a jerk. So just throwing that out there, it was one of my favorite things to do. I did it all the time. But this book, and this guy, Andrew Matthews, apparently he's British. He also has a podcast, but he's only done 4 episodes. And I have been listening to that. I love that as well. But I forgot where I was going with this.
Sometimes you have to be ready for those times that you're not ready for.
Yes. So
it is Andrew Matthews, by the way. I did look it up.
Yes, I knew it. So, you know, with an understudy, they know the role. They know exactly what it is they're going to be thrown into. I think another way of paying to play is, for me especially, like, I read self-help books and I read things that I try and make myself better. I try and constantly educate myself and just be growing mentally. I don't like not learning. I really, really love learning. And that way, I'm just constantly like learning, and I'm more knowledgeable, and I'm reading self-help books, and I have more tools so that when something happens, whatever that opportunity is, or, you know, whatever comes up, I have more, like, I've done the work. I've done a ton of work to prepare for whatever might happen, to be able to respond to it better, to be able to have a better reaction, to just be ready for things like that to come into my life more. Because if you're just kind of sitting there like bumming around, watching TV all the time, doing nothing, not trying to better yourself, not trying to grow, and then something amazing comes into your lap, but you aren't ready for that and you don't have the tools, you don't have the work ethic, you don't have the drive, the likelihood that it would go well or be something that was truly successful is not very high. But like, I spend so much time reading and working and just sitting here like trying to better myself that when something amazing were to come into my life, some great opportunity, I would have all this extra time that I was using to better myself for an amazing opportunity to then work on the opportunity.
Yeah, you'll be surprised at what actually helps you do other things. Tortuga Twins helps me with Success Freaks. Toastmasters helps me with doing video blogs. Oddly enough, video blogs really helped me with Toastmasters because I could speak off the cuff. When I was in the...
Is it because you do them so frequently and consistently?
I used to, and now I just...
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. What is this, an excuse?
What do I need? To set up as one of my dailies. Anyway, now I forgot what I was going to say.
Toastmasters.
Yeah, oh, everything leads to something else. So you never know what's going to help you with something else. The way I like to look at, another way I like to look at, you got to pay to play, is you're basically paying your dues for whatever it is you want to do in life. You know, if you want to go ahead and be that doctor that helps save the world and helps save people, you've got to go to school for that. If you want to do film and TV, sometimes you go to school for that. Sometimes you do on the job training, but it's getting ready. That's paying your dues. So another way of doing that is you got to pay to play. When Tortuga Twins first went on the road, we weren't that great. Every time we come up with a new script, shut up you, every time you come up with a new script, we call there's that season of suck, which the first time you do the show, it's great. Everybody loves it. And then from that time on, it's really not very good. And we're losing money because there's shows we could be doing that will make us much more money than this dreck that we're putting out. But until we work that show, it's never going to get better. And we're only going to have one show. We currently have 5. That we do, and depending on the festival, some festivals get all 5. So you gotta go through that. You gotta pay to play so that it's so that you can become and have a fabulous life. So that you can have that fun and fantastic life. Because if you're just sitting around for everything to drop in your lap, because the opportunities are gonna come your way. They are going to drop in your lap, but you're not gonna be strong enough to deal with it. You're never gonna level up past level 1.
I've made it to 2.
If you're never going to make it past 2, if on some level there's not some kind of sacrifice, it may be money, it may be time, it's probably going to be both. It may be effort. It may be the fact that you're trying something out that used to be fun, but now that you're trying to perfect it, it's just a pain in the butt. What do I used to say? What do I still say? Everything that you really want, those things that you really, really want, lie on the other side of what? A pain in the ass. Whether it's getting up and doing something, or it's struggling with something, wrestling with something so you can become better at it, or whatever that is, you've got to pay those dues. And if you don't, well, I don't want to do that kind of thing. I just want to sit around. Well, then that's the life you're going to have. You're just sitting around watching other people, you know, play the Olympics and be great, and write novels and do vlogs and all that other stuff. You're going to go, wow, I wish I could do something like that. You can. It just takes some effort, and there's fun in the effort.
I think also.
How about. Why'd you tell us that, that in the next segment?
Oh, already? Okay.
Welcome back to Success Freaks, episode 267. You got to pay to play. Every time I say it, I want to say, you got to pay to play, baby. That's the way it goes. Now, I had cut Kirsten off because she was about to have a fantastic thing that she was going to share with us. Go.
Yes. I think that they should bring back fry sauce at McDonald's. That's... Oh, I'm kidding. That wasn't my thing. That wasn't it.
I'm not really asking this, but what the hell is fry sauce?
I actually think it's Burger King now that I think about it.
I still don't know.
When they did the Salt Lake City Olympics forever ago, they did this whole expose on, not expose, but this whole news segment about the secret fry sauce that Burger King has that does they don't tell you about. It's like mayonnaise and ketchup and pickle juice and something else and something else. And it's all mixed together and you can ask for it. And it's amazing to dunk your fries in. And it is. But that was the really important thought that I thought you were throwing back to me that
fry
I should
sauce.
Express
yeah,
to the
please.
World.
Fry sauce. Bring it back.
Fry sauce. Bring it back. Any hoozle bees. Another thing that I had thought about that had dawned on me is that paying to play, we've talked about kind of literal, like money, you have to pay to yada yada, and metaphorical. Another one that I think is lost a lot and people don't realize it as a form of paying to play is having to step outside your comfort zone and having to do something you're uncomfortable with, something that you're not used to. Exactly. So you have this opportunity, this great opportunity you're so excited for. Let's say your friend asks you to be their co-host on their podcast that they've had going forever and ever. Right. Let's say you have zero experience in podcasting and all of your experience with media like this is through YouTube. And you have no idea what a podcast soundboard is. Operates as how to use it and you don't have a microphone and you don't know what software does and it's something that you know is going to be fun but there is a lot of growth and learning and you have to push yourself through and I mean not that I wasn't totally transparent but I am talking about myself.
What? Get out. I thought you were talking about me when I started working with Charles.
Oh, well, it applies to you too.
Yeah.
But it's true. It's true. You do like there's if you have an opportunity that maybe you are ready for, maybe everything that you were doing to prepare for it isn't just the pay to play that you had to go through. You also have to go through the growing pains and you have to go through that level of discomfort and not knowing what you're doing and figuring it out and being uncomfortable. Sitting in front of a microphone and talking is so weird to me because I'm so used to being in front of a camera.
She won't
and being able to rely.
She won't do the camera. You know, when I get to Carolina, I'm going to have great bandwidth and we're going to do camera stuff.
That's fine. I'm used to being able to rely on my mediocre looks and facial expressions to be entertaining. And now it's just my voice. So it's different. It's different.
It's just like you said, when you first saw me introducing the show, there are so many antics that people don't see the little dance I do when I introduce it, and it's just but vocally it helps get everything out there. Even now I'm doing hand motions.
I know when I was talking about YouTube and like needing a camera, I'm sitting here like gesturing with my hands like a crazy person.
So yeah,
it's that,
those are some of the dues that you're gonna have to pay. And you were talking about something and I'm like, oh, I have this great thing I'm gonna bring out because she said this and now I can't remember it. So
you know, I take notes.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's a great thing. And there are times where
I have a pen and paper.
Does it work for you?
It's been working so far.
Oh, right. Talk about this. So
just like a little three-word note to yourself when I say something completely profound and you're like, wow, I would love to expand upon her completely profound and wise thoughts, then you would be able to
do
so.
Now, let me speak. I'm speaking specifically to my fellow hyperactive. ADD, ADHD, you know, blah, 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 ADHD, my fellow people who are like...
That's nice, blah, 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 to something like that, to a medical condition.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
nice.
Yeah. Well, it goes with note-taking because a lot of my life, people were like, you should really write this stuff down. And one of the things, well, first of all, you don't remember lists. If you try to give me directions after a couple of steps, it's gone. I'm just beep. I'm like, write it down. Because I don't remember this. But people would tell me, you should start making lists. And it would piss me off. I got this. Well, of course, one of the things of ADHD is you get irritated with people. talking to you like that. However, it's true. It's true. Once I started making lists, it was like, oh, freedom. It's right there. I don't have to be, I don't have to be the day of and go, oh my God, I forgot to do this. Or wow, I forgot. It still happens sometimes, but not as badly. So for me, one of the ways that I had to pay was to just, you know, choke down my pride and realize, yes, they're trying to help me, and this is going to help me help myself. So sometimes it's that, that sacrifice of pride going, well, you know, I don't really need that. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. I do. And if I do, you do. And we can do together.
Pay
and
up.
That's a straight poop.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I have, ever since I have had a smartphone and I have actually been consistent with using the notes apps, whether it was I was on an Android phone or my iPhone, ever since I've been consistent with referring to my notes, and as soon as I have an idea, go, oh, go put that in the note, go put that in the note, do it in the note right now, go do it right now. And I always have my phone on me, so I just put it in the note. And then, like I've said before, like when we talked about Passion Planner, usually I will transpose that to paper form because I like seeing it on paper in front of me instead of having to scroll on a tiny screen and look at it there. But since using my phone to write down stuff, I have realized just how much more I can remember and just get done because it's all there.
Yeah, and then also I have multiple note places. I've got Habitica, I've got Wunderlist, and I've got a notepad where I cross stuff out. And it's kind of like sometimes I'm just like, I don't know if I want to, you know, what I want to work on. And I can go look at my notes and go, well, I mean, not that. Oh, I can work on that. So sometimes it demands a sacrifice. I want to get back to pay to play. It demands a sacrifice. You know, maybe it's a sacrifice of pride. Maybe it's a sacrifice of your time, like whether you're going to school or whatever it is you're going to do. If you're in Little League and you got to practice, you know, practice outside of the game. I was in junior high for a hot minute. I was in band. And I remember sitting in chairs. I was learning to play trumpet. And I wasn't very good. And nobody practiced. And then he would always call on us to play a note. When somebody couldn't do it, they'd call on the next person. And when they couldn't do it, they'd call on the next person. And if they did it, they would move up a chair. And I noticed that with my little adolescent brain. I noticed that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to learn that note. So I practice it at home. Not very much, just a little bit. I practiced it. And you know what? Sure as Shinola, it happened. The guy that was in front of me missed the note, and they went to me. He goes, can you do this? And I was like, whatever the note was. And they moved me up. I got to move to, I don't know if I was first or second chair then. Shortly thereafter, my parents decided that band was a little expensive, and we were no longer in that.
Yeah.
Thus saving me from a life of being embarrassed and beaten up by football players, etc., which happened to me anyway because I was a wee lad.
I was in marching band, but I was in color guard, and none of our band people got beat up by football players. So
that's cool.
I don't know what hood school you went to, but pay to play. Also, you mentioned sacrifice, and I think that's the easier way to just paraphrase it. You got to pay to play. It's sacrifice. I will freely, sort of freely, more not so freely, admit that I watch very studiously and religiously Pretty Little Liars. It's fine. And one of the characters, she is into fashion, and she gets this amazing job in New York after she graduates, but her boss is terrible, but it's amazing experience. And it's kind of the same concept. You got to pay to play. Like, you want your experience, you want your foot in the door, you want to get in the industry, you have to work under somebody who's been doing it a lot longer than you, who may or may not be a nice person, but it's leveling you up. Even though it's not the easiest to get through. Ideally, you want to be somewhere where you have a boss that respects you and is good to you. But sometimes that's not the case. And people who are in regular day-to-day jobs don't even have that. So especially if it's something where you're pursuing your dream, you have to know what you're willing to sacrifice, how much you're willing to pay to be able to play in the long run.
That's true. So listen, if you like what you're hearing here and you happen to be in the Charlotte, North Carolina area or the Gastonia, North Carolina area, you can hear us every Thursday at 5 p.m. after a little bit of news stuff. We are coming at you at WGNC 1450 a.m. in Gastonia. And if you're in the Charlotte area, 100.7 FM, you can find us there. And it is it's what you get to hear here, but you get to hear it on your radio. And that's just so fantastic.
Yeah.
So those of you in Charlotte, you're able to do that. The rest of the world, I'm so sorry.
You can listen to us here.
What happens when a self-help comedian and a social media manager both have a passion for podcasting and come together to support a common cause? A podcast is born. So what exactly is the Water Relief Podcast? Each week, BC Dodge and R. Mordant Mott from the Success Freaks Podcast sit down with staff members and volunteers to talk about IRUSA efforts in the United States and abroad. So how can you listen to the podcast? Download from IRUSA.org. You can also find it on Blueberry.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. Subscribe and download the Water Relief Podcast today.
Welcome back to Success Freaks, episode 267. You got to pay to play, baby. And last segment, we were talking about stuff, and Kirsten had brought something up, and I really wanted to push on it. You were talking about
push.
Oh my God,
push it good. Push it. Push it real good. Your turn.
Okay. So she was talking about work. You may want to work for somebody. You know, I have something else for that, and I don't want to get into that again because that was just a mire last time we hit that song. You may work for somebody that you may not like to work for. However, much like in the movie The Devil Wears Prada, which is
a
book I hear, but I like the movie better, you may be working for somebody who is deplorable, and they may be challenging you on every level, but the things that you are learning from that experience, maybe not from them, but just from the experience, it's building your character. And I'm going to say that in any kind of situation, whether it's like that or something else, really, 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 you want to fail. You want to fail early on. Failure is your friend.
Yeah.
You know, for one of the things that failure does is it helps thicken your skin. Let's say you've never had a failure in your life, and then all of a sudden the big game is on the line or the big project or whatever it is, and you hit failure for the first time. You will not be emotionally strong enough to be able to deal with that, and you'll crumble. Yeah. However, if you've had a life of small failures here and there and some big ones here and there, then you're going to be able to, oh, I know what this is, and because I'm comfortable with this, I can operate in this failure and help figure it out. So you don't want to fail. With that, whatever new project that you're moving into, you want to pay your dues in that way so that when everything's crashing down and everybody else is going, ah, or like they do in Arizona when it rains, ah, water from the sky, what do we do? What do we do?
Truth.
When everybody else is freaking out, you're able to go, it's wet. I remember when Prince passed away, and I was looking for a couple of things to share on my Facebook page, and one of the things I found was like a documentary or special about what he did in the Super Bowl, the one year that he was there. And it showed his performance, which was epic and beautiful, but it also had everybody talking about what it was like to work with him and to get him into this. And it was like the first time ever the Super Bowl is going to happen during a rainstorm. It's like, chances are it's going to rain. And they're talking to him and hoping against hope that he's going to still want to do this. He's like, yes. And they're like, is there anything that you need? And he's like, can you make it rain harder? And they just, everybody relaxed at that. And of course, with his song Purple Rain, it was wonderful. They danced in the rain. They played in the rain. That's everything awesome. Was perfect because he had dealt with failure before. This is the man that when he was touring with the Rolling Stones, the first few times he went out there, they booed him off the stage, and then he wasn't touring with the Rolling Stones because that was not his audience, although the Rolling Stones wanted him there. They liked him,
right?
And he went on to become who he was, and that was part of his greatness. Your failure is part of your greatness. It's a stepping stone to success, and you want it to happen early so that you can mm-hmm. get used to it, so it can teach you it, so it can guide you, so it can thicken your skin.
Yeah. And how many, you know, actors and actresses and people like that in you know, the public eye, have we heard their stories come out and they're like, nobody believed in me my whole life. And I did this and this and this and this and this. Like, there's a picture of Meryl Streep on a subway that her friend took of her after she went to her first audition for something that she was rudely turned down for. And they were like, no, you're not pretty enough. We don't want you. And we really don't think you're going to make it in this industry. And now she's Meryl freaking Streep. Or like, you know, Kate Winslet, she's talked about how nobody believed in her and look at her now. You know, it's everybody has those. The really successful people have gone through the mud and come out stronger because of it.
There's a woman, Laura Linney, is that her name?
Sure, I have no idea who you're talking about.
She was in Love Actually. She was in John Adams. She played Adams' wife. She talks about being in, going to Juilliard and having a really, really hard time of it and just being like, okay, I'm going to quit. And then her guidance counselor or whatever came in and was talking to her and said, listen, fail here. You're supposed to fail here. You're supposed to make a big mess of this so you can figure it out. So when the big parts are on the line, you're not making these dumb mistakes that you're going to naturally make here.
Mm-hmm.
And B, it's not going to freak you out when it happens. And you're going to learn how to and do with it. And now she's, you know, Laura, I hope it's Laura Linney.
Whoever she is.
Yeah. But I saw this on the In the Actor's Studio when she was talking about,
mm-hmm.
About her experiences. So it's all part of that. You know, paying your dues, you know, you got to pay to play. You got to pay your dues. And you want to be able to do that because that's what this magnificent thing we call life is made up of. It's made up of these ups and downs, and that's the roller coaster. That's the fun. And if you can look at it as fun, as part of the adventure, instead of going, oh, everything just sucks,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you just look at it as part of the ride and you can have fun with it and be like, eh. All right, whatever, let's do this. And I have to listen to that myself as I'm getting into these different business ventures that I'm trying to force myself to go towards. And every time I hit a hiccup, I back up and go, oh, maybe I don't want to do that. Or I find myself less wanting to move forward with it because mm-hmm. of the pain of not knowing what I'm doing. But the only way I'm going to figure it out is if I move forward and realize this is part of it. This is part of the fun.
Yeah, there's all those quotes about like, you don't know light unless you know darkness to compare it to. You can't just go through life just being successful and being like, oh, look at me. Look at how great I am at being successful. Look at how great I am at, oh, this went right for me. Oh, look how well I respond to it. Look how humble I am. I'm the best at being humble. Nobody's more humble than me. I'm so good at being humble. I'm like the best humble person there is. But you also have to know how to get through the down parts as well. You have to be able to get through both and weather both. And that's part of like life, like you said, like the game of life. You have to pay to play. You have to go through ups and downs. You can't just have all ups. That's not how it works. I think it's the same in like relationships. You can't just have all ups. You have to be able to go through the downs with each other. If you can't argue well, if you don't communicate well and argue well and get through the times that aren't good, you aren't going to have as strong or solid of a relationship. Same thing with life, and you have to pay to play.
Yeah, that's like parents who won't argue in front of their children. Well, I don't want them to see this.
Yes.
Well, then they never learn.
That's healthy.
A, what it's like to argue and argue well, and they don't ever get to see how you got to the solution. Usually they'll yes. see the beginning of the argument, and then parents will go behind closed doors, and then they won't see how it works out.
Mm-hmm.
They need to learn those skills.
Yeah. It's part of paying to play. You have to go through you have to have the tough conversations. You have to go through the stuff that is not fun. And you have to get through it, and you have to, you know, you come out stronger or you don't. And either you learn from it or you don't. But if the more you learn from it and the more you grow from it, the easier it is the next time, and the easier life and things like that are to get through. I have to mention real quick, I made a note when you were talking about Devil Wears Prada and you said, yeah, I really like the movie. I think there's a book too. I haven't read it, but I like the movie better. Really?
Really? I remember reading a part of it and or the ending of it. Or maybe I did. No, I did listen to it. That's right. I did, and I didn't like the ending. It was like,
All right.
And it did, oddly enough, it didn't seem to have the depth of character that the movie carried with it in the mean lady.
Yeah.
You know, she was just kind of like, she was like the Snidely Whiplash villain. You know, just one note. And you kind of hope that there was a little bit more. And you really, Miranda, you really saw that with Glenn Close in the movie.
Whoa, Meryl Streep.
Was it?
Ooh.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. By all means, continue to move at a glacial pace. You know how that thrills me.
Well, I mean, with Molly Ringwald as the star of it, then that's the...
I'm sorry, who? Anne Hathaway? And then the British lady from Into the Woods. Can't think of her name right now.
Meryl Streep?
No, Meryl Streep's the villain.
Emily Blunt?
Yes.
Oh, you mean?
She's the one that's like, I'm one head cold away from my ideal weight.
The British woman from On the Edge of Tomorrow, the action flick that she was in. Yeah, I know who she is.
Yeah, great. Well, she did not work with Glenn Close in Devil Wears Prada.
Glenn Close and Meryl Streep kind of look alike.
Yeah.
So what's your level up in 40 seconds or less?
Go through the hard stuff, pay to play, get through it, learn from it, and know that sacrifice is a good thing and it can help you grow and be better.
Try to find the fun in it. Yeah. Try to remember that that life is a game and you should come to play. You know, play hard, have fun. But the bad stuff is there to teach you things. So when you look at it, like I broke my glasses today. My glasses, and every once in a while I break my glasses because I buy these cheap pieces of crap that are just, you know, that are just readers, because that's all I really need is my readers. And instead of going, oh, what am I going to do? I have another pair somewhere stashed. And it's just like, oh, look, something else I get to buy. Oh, good. Something else. It's not a big deal. You can't do this wrong. You know, unless you're really, really doing bad stuff and hurting other people, you can't do this wrong. So have fun with it. Pay to play. And we'll be right back.
Welcome back to On Beyond Success Freaks. Today we talked about a whole bunch of awesome things. I'm Kirsten. That's Mordant. And I wanted to delve into something that I think a lot of people can relate to. So I switched buildings at work as of 2 days ago. Back to a building I used to work at. And so I have a lot of friends that are there and everybody's, you know, greeting me and welcoming me back. And some people are huggy people, which is great. And some people aren't. And then some people are doing the awkward in between thing. And I don't know how I'm supposed to respond. So yesterday, a lady that I used to work with came over to welcome me back, and I was sitting down, she was standing up, and as she came up to me, she had her arm out, and she put her arm out, and she put her arm around my shoulder and was like patting me on the shoulder. So I put my one arm around her to like give her like a half hug from sitting down, which was apparently very awkward for both of us. And then she goes, oh no, don't do that, I just had back surgery. So not only did I read the social cue wrong, that she was not giving me a half hug and I should not respond in kind with a half hug, but then I almost messed up the surgery she recently had on her spine. And I spent the rest of the day playing that over and over and over in my mind about, great, good job, way to give her a half hug when she totally didn't want one. That's not awkward. I'm sure 7 people saw. That's fine. No big deal. I really don't know if she's a hugger. Is she a hugger? Does she like to hug? Well, it's irrelevant now because I hugged her and then I almost, you know, injured her back and probably half paralyzed her. It's fine. No big deal. But I awkwardly half hugged her from a sitting position. It's fine. Nobody noticed. Everyone noticed. And I just replayed it over and over and over and over again. And I feel like a lot of people do this. I feel like every time I tell a story like that, 7 people, I like the number 7 right now, a lot of people go, I've done that too. We've all done that. And I really felt like expressing that. And I feel like pay to play, that can be relevant to that. Sometimes you will embarrass yourself. You will embarrass yourself.
That moment where you confuse Meryl Streep for Glenn Close, that one, in front of an audience of many.
Tens and twenties.
I think we're actually hundreds. Thank you very much.
Oh, wonderful. I don't know the stats. No one shares anything with me.
Well, yes. Well, one day we will invite you into the sanctum sanctorum.
Ooh. Well, have you done something embarrassing that you've replayed 1,000 times?
Oh, yeah, but I want to talk about something. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, even in the vein of what you're talking about, there was a guy that the guy that cut my hair. I went from long hair to short hair, and years later, I ran into him. He came out to the Renaissance Festival. It was Arizona, in fact. Came out there again. And he had had a hurt arm or hurt hand or something. And I don't know what I did, if I went to shake it or I went to hug him. And he was just like real anguish, real pain. He's like, damn it. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. He's like, okay. You can hear expletive, F-bomb. You know, so there was that. You know, that's never any good. When that happens, or, oh, I hope he doesn't listen to this, but I'm going to share this story. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So we have been working at the Carolina Renaissance Festival since it opened, and 20-something years now. Maybe it's 21 or 22. And before we started working there, we were courted by the owners, or one of the owners of the festival. And we talked to him. We met him there. And then I think he called us and then invited us over to his place to talk to us some more. But in between the original meeting and the call, or during the call, I remember saying, and I believe we saw your gaping smile in the back. And I just meant that just as it was. And he has a gap between his teeth.
Oh, my God.
And after we were done with the phone call, I turned to one of my partners and I was like, do you remember? Does he have a gap between his teeth? No, surely not. Surely I would not have stepped into that and basically said, hey, Bucky, thanks for getting in touch with us. Now, it's gone away since then. I hope it's not because of something I said.
Oh, my God.
But this is a person who's going to hire us. And he did. It was never mentioned. It was never talked about. You know, it's like what Emily Post says or Miss Manners says. What do you do when somebody farts in the room? You ignore it. That's a polite thing to do. Don't say anything. Don't call attention. Just move on. Sometimes it's that. And then you try to, here's my other one. Oh, this is horrendous.
tell me.
And, okay, so you know when you hug somebody? You hug somebody and you step back and you have a hairy chest and I'm hugging one of my female friends. Hey, how you doing? I step back and one of my hairs are on your chest. Let me just, you reach for it and you pull and it's attached to them, their hair, their chest. And it's just like mortified. And then it almost happens again with somebody else. And I literally, as my hand's reaching out, my other hand grabs it and pulls it back. No, don't do that. No. So yeah, I've had that experience a couple of times. And it's a life teacher. It's a life lesson. You learn that, first of all, no touchy-touchy is the best. Second of all is just, you'll get beyond it. Hopefully you'll laugh at it. You'll both laugh at it. Or in some cases, you'll never talk to them again.
Oh my gosh. It's just awkward
after that.
That is so fantastic.
Yeah.
That is so fantastic. I will say, though, you know, I like to be very funny and witty and just goofy. And so when I do something super embarrassing that to somebody who likes to live a quote unquote normal life, that they would just reel from it and be like, oh my God, that was so embarrassing. I like to call attention to it and tell the story multiple times because it's really funny for people. And I like to be funny and entertaining. I'm like, guess what I said the other day?
Self-deprecating.
I know. Well, no, not self-deprecating, but just like sharing the humor. Like, I'm laughing with you. You can laugh at this because everyone wants to laugh when you do something embarrassing. It's just like not everyone, but a lot of people.
It's also a way of you taking control of the situation.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to control the amount of laugh. People are going to laugh at this. They're going to say laugh at this because I am telling the story. It's like comedians. Comedians, if you look at the really successful comedians, there's no such thing as a successful comedian with a really happy childhood.
True.
There was something growing up that broke them on some level. And the way they dealt with that was humor.
Yeah.
And the way they can take control of that is sharing that in a funny way. Hey, look, you're going to laugh at this, but I'm going to control the laughter. I'm going to direct you towards how you can laugh at this. And we're going to laugh at it together. Instead of laughing at me, we're all laughing with each other. Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love that coping mechanism.
It's twoo. It's twoo.
It's twoo. It's twoo. But that's like, especially at work, when somebody says something embarrassing, it's, you know, a lot of people will be like, what did you just say? And you're like, yep, yeah, I definitely just said that. That's the word I just used. You are welcome. I tried to say swerving when I was just, you know, talking about this person in a vehicle. And I said sweaving. You're welcome. And then for the rest of the day, everyone's like, hey, don't drink and sweave. You know,
that's awesome.
Right.
That's fun.
Yeah, that's funny. That's not one of those awkward, embarrassing one-on-one encounters that you think about forever and ever. Or if you have one of those awkward, embarrassing one-on-one encounters in a dream, and then you see the person in real life, and you still have that awkward feeling in your brain towards them, but they don't know that. Oh my gosh, that happens to me all the time.
Yeah, I've got another one.
Go for it.
And those of you who are longtime listeners to when we were the other side of Live and Success Freaks, you may have heard this one as well, but I'm going to retell it because. So I'm working at the Sarasota Medieval Fair. It's one of the first years that I am a Tortuga twin. So probably it might still be the 80s or early 90s, but we're doing something. I'm chatting up these two lovely ladies. Hello. Hello, ladies. How are you? And the one girl
yeah,
who
work
I'm
out.
What?
I said, yeah, no wonder that didn't work out.
Shut up, you. And the one girl, shush, with the peanut gallery, the one girl that I'm kind of, you know.
Oh, my God.
She's not responding.
No, so, you don't say. Tell me more.
So when with hand motions, as if I'm signing, I'm like, what's the matter? Are you deaf? And her friend looks at me and goes, yes, she is.
Oh, no.
Now, we both laugh at, we all laugh at it. She is deaf. But, you know, it was a funny moment. And did I get her number or anything else like that? No. They're smooth. And, you know, when you're really smooth with a lot of O's. And then there's smoth. At that time, I was smooth.
You know, if you put an R on the end of that, it's smother. Like you smother. Should have smothered yourself.
Smurth.
Oh,
but
my
it's funny. It's smurth.
Gosh, that is hysterical.
I got one more unless you got one.
No.
All right, so I'm hawking a crowd. I can't remember what festival it was, but I'm hawking a crowd. And behind the crowd goes this lady, this pregnant lady that goes across the back. So I'm like, hey, pregnant lady. And the whole audience turns around. And she stops and she looks back. She goes, I'm not pregnant.
No.
And the audience is just, oh, just what you did. And I talked to her afterwards. She goes, no harm, no foul. You know, I get it all the time, but that's all it was.
So, oh, no.
There you go. There's our embarrassing moments. I'll have to work on some new ones. But.
Well, and it's just like, it's not even, that's like, those are memorable ones, but sometimes you just have small little day-to-day ones that you think about for like a week, and you're like, that was way worse than I think it was, or was it? And I just can't stop thinking about this.
And you know what we call it now? Pod fodder.
Ding.
Hey, guess what I did? Let's talk about it.
Guess how embarrassing I am. It's fine.
So. All right. Well, do you have anything else? Because we are, it is time.
It is time. No, I think we shall say a fond farewell.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I am glad you have been enjoying Success Freaks. You can find us on the internet. Go to successfreaks.com. You can follow us and subscribe to us on iTunes so that we can come right to ya. Please do that. This has been R. Mordant Mon.
And I'm Habitica Level 1, but at least I know who Meryl Streep is.
Ciao, Success Freaks. Boom, baby.